Today's gospel tells us of two women, two sisters. Martha is the ate, and her younger sister, Mary. This is St. Luke's account of Jesus' visit to their home in Bethany, a little village not far from Jerusalem. Jesus loved this family. He loved this family, which included not only these two sisters, but also their brother, Lazarus. We learn more about the family on a later occasion when Lazarus dies, and Jesus goes there and speaks with both Martha and Mary, and then he raises Lazarus from the dead after 4 days, one of Jesus' greatest miracles. Anyway, the center of today's story is the contrast between Martha and Mary. Martha is actively serving, busy with the details of hospitality, and Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him speak. So one takes the standing role of a servant, and one takes the sitting position of a disciple. Both of these are holy women. Both of them are honored in the church as saints, as is their brother, Saint Lazarus. They share one feast day, the three of them, on July 29. Both of these women represent ways of responding to the Lord, to serve and to listen. And they're often used as symbols of the contrast between action and contemplation, or the active life and the contemplative life. The problem with this is that people sometimes hear Jesus' words about Mary choosing the better part, and then they conclude that, well, contemplative people have the better part, but since they don't have to work, I can't be like that. Since we do have to work, we have a lot of things to do, how can we apply this gospel to ourselves? Well, let's back up a little bit and see or look more closely at what Jesus really teaches us here. First of all, note the description of Martha. She welcomes Jesus to her village and to her home, which is a very good thing, a very important thing, to welcome Jesus. Next, it says she is burdened with much serving. We can all understand that. I think this is why people like this reading or can identify, at least with Martha, if not with Mary. People know what it means to be burdened with a lot of things to do. Serving is difficult. Life is difficult. There are times when we have a lot to do. There are times when we have too much to do. Martha's problem, though, is not that she has too much to do. Her problem is actually more interior, and it comes out in what she says next. Listen to what she says. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me. There's a lot here. You can see that she's resentful of her sister. She's falling into anger. She's falling into self-pity. She's falling into rash judgment. She judges not only her sister, but also Jesus as well. She accuses him of not caring about her. Imagine saying that to the Lord. Don't you care about me? And then she even tells him what to do. Jesus, tell my sister to help me. Now, I hope you can see that this is a very common way of relating to the Lord. We might not say it so bluntly and boldly as that, but we do think that God is acting as if he doesn't care about us. We do get resentful when we have to do more than other people, especially people in our own household. Well, Jesus gently identifies her real situation, not that she's too busy, but that she is anxious and worried about many things. He does not say, Martha, Martha, you are too busy. He does not say, Martha, Martha, you are doing too much work. No, because sometimes we are busy. Sometimes we do have a lot of work, especially when our work is to care for people in need. people caring for young children, families, people caring for the sick, the elderly, or entertaining guests. It's a lot of work. We are busy, but that's not what Jesus corrects her about. See, it's not the problem that she's doing too many things. The problem is that she's anxious and upset about many things. You see the difference? It's an interior struggle. Well, what should we do when we are anxious, when we're worried, when we're upset, when we're overburdened, when we're afraid, when we're resentful, when we're too busy? What should we do? We should turn to the Lord. Martha finally does it. She should have done it earlier, but she finally does it. She turns to the Lord. Jesus says, there is need of only one thing. There's only one thing that we really have to be concerned about, and that is the will of God. To know God, to know what He has in mind for us, is the one thing. If He wants us to be busy, and we accept it, then we have peace. We're doing what God wants. If He wants us to let go of some of our work, and we accept that, then we have peace. If He wants us to sit down for a moment and listen to Him, and we do it, then we have peace. The one thing is to do the will of God. If we don't have a living connection with God, that is prayer, then we will be anxious, we will be upset, afraid, burdened, angry, and we will very easily get angry at the people around us who are not helping us or who are making life more burdensome to us. A good example is given to us in the first reading, the example of Abraham, our father in faith. He's sitting at the entrance of his tent. Maybe he's praying. He's certainly not busy. He's just sitting there. Along come three strangers. And he suddenly sees the need to get busy. He jumps up. He rushes to them. He offers them hospitality. He takes on the big and sudden burden of hosting these three strangers he doesn't know at first, that he's entertaining God and his angels. But he does know that there's work to do, and he rushes to do it. But without anxiety, without anger, without resentment, he has the right spirit as he does his work. And the fruit of it is at the very end of the reading, he receives the promise that he will have a son. This is the son of the promise, Isaac. Okay, what's important here then is not that there's anything wrong with being busy, but there is something wrong with not praying, with not listening to Jesus. When is the last time you simply sat down to listen to Jesus? When's the last time you actually put aside all the busyness, turned off your phone, turned off whatever gadgets there are, left everything else aside and put your focus on listening to Jesus? It doesn't have to be for a long time, but it has to be long enough to regain that connection, that awareness that we belong to God and that His will is the one thing we really need. Maybe you have said to yourself, I think probably we have all said to ourselves at one time or another, or we may even have said to God, we are too busy to pray. I'm too busy to pray. Be careful when you hear yourself say that. We may not be able to take a lot of time for prayer. Yes, there are times in life, there are days when we don't have much time. Yes. But we can never be too busy to pray, because prayer connects us with the one thing that's necessary, that is God. Being too busy to pray only means we have misplaced priorities. We are valuing something in our lives more than the will of God, and that's a disaster. We all need prayer. If we don't pray, our activity becomes busyness. Activity for its own sake. Often we're doing things that are not even really necessary. Sometimes we're simply wasting our time with distractions, empty distractions. Things that occupy us so that we won't have to face the burden of life. That's when we need prayer more than ever. How can we know what to do? How can we know what not to do if we're not being guided by the Lord in prayer? If we're not submitting ourselves to the will of God? Even while we are working, even while we're busy, we should be and we can listen interiorly. That's prayer. Listening to Jesus. Listening and talking to the Lord is prayer. So this gospel is not a lesson that we should be like Mary and not like Martha. If we think that's the lesson, then we will conclude, I can't do that because I have a lot of things to do. That's just for monks or people in monasteries. No, the real lesson is to be both Mary and Martha, not one or the other. To listen before we work and while we work. To not lose that connection with God while we work. To combine contemplation and action. Well, let me conclude with just one practical idea in relation to this idea of combining our prayer with our work. And this one practical idea is to have at least one moment of prayer every day. And I think the best time to pray is at the first moment of the day, the beginning of the day, the morning. Many people start the day badly. They start the day, as soon as they wake up, thinking about all the things they have to do. Or they start the day looking at their gadgets and being flooded with messages and Viber texts and emails and I don't know what, TikTok videos or whatever. And then all those things fill their minds, and then they say, I'm too busy to pray. If you have time for TikTok videos, then you're not too busy to pray. Let go of something else and make space for God. So this is the practical point. Don't start the day by checking the news or checking the email or checking the text messenger. Start the day with a prayer. And one of the traditional prayers in Catholic life is the morning offering. You know the morning offering? Actually, there are many versions of it. Let me read one that's very common. Maybe you learned it as children. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you the prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. For all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, in reparation for my sins and for our Holy Mother, the Church. Amen. I offer you the prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. That's enough to start the day. Prayers, that's when we're like Mary. Works, that's when we're like Martha. Joys, when things happen that we like. Sufferings, when things happen that we don't like. All of them. In other words, our whole day we offer to God at the beginning. So that connection is established from the very beginning, our connection with God, so that we have the one thing necessary from the very moment we start our day. That's a good idea. It's a good start, because what's necessary is our connection with God. The Lord wants us to do everything for Him, with Him. Not for ourselves, not to comply with the expectations of people around us, not to impress anyone, but to put God first. Put God first. That's the one thing we need. You know that expression Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's the one thing necessary, and everything else will fall into place in our life.